What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
I may make it to June 1st this year.
You're like a swamp creature or something.
I live in a stone house with a lot of trees around it.
It's not hot.
Yes, sir. Oh, you little snowflakes.
No, I will admit
my
that.
My little
what is the temperature
cone
in your house right now?
I will admit that. You can call me whatever you want. That is,
74?
I can't sleep.
73?
If it's warm and there's no fan, I get a little miserable.
It's not. It's beautiful in the evening with the fan over. I even have a comforter on.
Plus you're nude. So.
Plus I'm naked.
No one needs to know that.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers.
Wake them up, get them up, get them out. It is B&E on a Tuesday, show of the people. Off we go, 4 hours of fun and conversation. There is a new champion in college basketball. Also, big night down in the city of Houston. We'll dive in there as the Astros unveil their World Series banners. Longhorns get a nice win over at UFCU Dish Falk Field on this Tuesday, 3 of April. Could be a bit of a rainy one potentially today. Some AM fog and some low clouds. Partly to mostly cloudy today. Scattered thunderstorms. Maybe some strong ones as well after 4 o'clock today. 60% chance of rain on this Tuesday. We'll top out about 80 degrees. It's currently 70 in the capital city. Mr. Godbolt.
Yeah, it's going to be wet today, but it's time for me to get the mulch bags out.
Mulch bags.
Mulch bags. Got to go and get those mulch bags this morning. Got the old 1988 Silverado. Out there.
Oh, you got to get the old mule pickup truck.
Oh, that thing was great yesterday. Just banging around the east side, banging those potholes and stuff. No big deal with the monster truck that I've got out there. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job you do. It is appreciated, first responders, and all you lovely teachers out there. Thank you also.
No doubt about that. BK is back from the title game last night in San Antonio. Quick turnaround, so we'll get some stories there. He was live to see Villanova cut down the nets for the second time in 3 years. We'll get you details on how they did it coming up. Also mentioned, we're supposed to have a baseball game tonight in Leander. Not sure that's going to happen when I'm looking at this forecast.
Probably not.
Not looking good. That's about an hour's drive from the house, too. I guess we'll drive all the way out there for a rainout.
Potentially. No, it's going to – it's. That's not. There's a lot of rain coming tonight again.
That's what I'm saying.
Not as bad as before.
But you
got to
leave and go, right? You can't. I mean, we're south, but we, you know, Hayes plays Leander tonight. I guess we'll have to drive out there and
you got to go. Got to wait it out.
Got to make the trip.
It's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. I'm looking at 70%, even with some severe storms. No bueno.
Mm-mm.
On that deal. But we can use the rain here in early April. I know what they say, Buck. April showers bring May.
Absolutely.
Flowers.
Oh, there's lots of. How about the beautiful bluebonnets out
there? It's
not going
to rain on Hornbash weekend. We know that, right? It's not going to happen.
You said that. You told us that
well,
yesterday.
I've looked at the forecast. I'm not predicting that. I'm looking at the weather models. Which
That's
is
a myth.
No, not a myth. Not a
things
myth.
Things change so much out there.
Hey, listen.
But it won't.
Cross your fingers. You
no,
camp
I can't.
Out.
No, I can't have that
stuff to do.
Can't have that stuff all muddy out there.
All right. So let's start with the headlines. Get your morning brief. The Ticket City Update Desk. Philadelphia City of Champions. Let's go. UBO Business Services bringing you the headlines and your morning brief. Start with college hoops, and yeah, for the second time in 3 years, Villanova on top of the college basketball world, and as they have throughout this NCAA tournament, Jay White Wright's Wildcats left no doubt, rolling past Michigan last night, 79-62 in the title game in San Antonio.
I really can't get my mind around it. I never dreamt of this. We just took it one day at a time. We tried to get better every day, and I thought we played our best game in a championship game.
They certainly did, and it was Dante's Inferno at the Alamo Dome as Dante DiVincenzo came off the bench for Nova to score 31 points on 10 of 15 from the floor, hit 5 of 7 from 3. The sophomore from Delaware named the most outstanding player of the Final Four.
Honestly, it was credit to these guys up here. They did a great job of making it difficult for Jalen and Mikhail, and they were just making the right play. They were trying to be aggressive, and they were fine to me. And Amari was setting great screens, getting me open.
In taking the program's third overall title, Villanova won all six games in this tournament by double digits. They joined Michigan State in 2000, Duke in 01, and North Carolina in 2009 in that rarefied air. The last team to win its two Final Four games by 16 points or more, UCLA in 1968. Came during John Wooden's dynastic run there. And oh, by the way, speaking of dynasties, not a senior on that Villanova roster, and they've already won two out of three. College baseball, Longhorns opened a busy five-game week with a 5-4 win over McNeese State last night at UFCU Dishfall Field. Texas built a 5-0 lead over the Cowboys thanks to Ryan Reynolds and a blast in the third inning. Home run, two more runs in the fourth. They held on. Relievers Josh Sawyer and Andy McGuire recorded the final six outs. Horns improve to 18-12 on the year for head coach David Pierce.
These wins are tough to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. And we're thankful for that, but you know, it's almost like two different games. In the beginning of the game, we're cruising along. Offensively, we look good. And then they flip it on us, and they start getting some confidence at home plate. But overall, I'm just glad we got the win.
Quick turnaround for Texas. They travel to Corpus Christi tonight to play A&M Corpus Christi, a Whataburger Field. First pitch set for 6:30 on that one. You'll hear it, of course, right here on the Horn. This weekend, Longhorns host Baylor for three in a Big 12 series over at the Dish. Last night in Waco, Texas State beat the Bears 6-1. Ty Harrington's Bobcats get a nice win there. Major League Baseball, quite a scene in Houston last night. Astros played in front of their home fans for the first time since they won the World Series last fall in Los Angeles. Houston unveiled their World Championship banner and pennant, and then Charlie Morton took the hill, dominated Baltimore. As the Astros get a 6-1 win, Morton struck out six over six shutout frames. Astros improved to 4-1 in the young season. For the first time through their five-man rotation, Houston starters have posted a 1.78 ERA, have struck out 36. Justin Verlander gets the ball tonight, facing Mike Wright in Game 2 of that series. Texas Rangers opened a series in Oakland last night with a 3-1 loss, despite six solid innings from starting pitcher Bartolo Colon. 44-year-old pitched pretty well, but it was A's second baseman Jed Lowry with a tie-breaking two-run double in the seventh. Broke that 1-1 tie, and that was the ball game, and that's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Not even close last night, Buck. You and I were both on Villanova big last night.
I said by the 10-minute mark, go ahead and go to bed.
Yeah, and you could. You could. They're this that good, and Michigan hadn't beaten a high seed. What the highest seed they had beaten to get to that point was a five or a six seed, a six. I mean, they had the good fortune of the bracket. It's nothing against Michigan. They're a good team.
No, that's the second-best team in the country. I think they'd have beat everybody else. I really think they'd have beat. I think they'd have beat. No, last night, no?
No. I don't think they beat Duke. I don't think they beat.
Really? The way they played defense in the first half? Well, not.
I mean, they got to a good start.
They really didn't play great defense. At the end, it was. At the end of the half, actually, it was Villanova that played great defense, because when Brunson hit that three-pointer to go up by nine, that's when you could have canceled Christmas right there. That thing was over when they were up by 9 points. It really was.
And that's one of the things you love about this Villanova team, the versatility of their roster. I mean, John Beilein, as he's going to do, is going to come out with a great game plan to try to attack and on both ends of the floor, and it was working. And then Jay Wright's able to make adjustments, put guys in the right place, and make his adjustments to what the game plan is. And that's how versatile and solid that roster is, top to bottom. They go eight deep, and to bring a kid off the bench that scores 31.
Well, yeah,
that's
options. That's called options, because without DiVincenzo, they don't win the game last night. They really don't. They didn't have enough. They didn't have enough. If you look at the scoring, I don't think they would have won that game. That kid had 31 points, and he was money. But when you have options like they have options, well, that's what you
eight
get. That's
really, really good players.
Yeah.
Eight really good players. And that's what Jay Wright has built there at Villanova. It's interesting that DiVincenzo, he's from Wilmington, Delaware. He goes to the same high school as my nephew does. Right in northern Wilmington. And he's known as the Michael Jordan of Delaware. Back-to-back state titles. He led Salesianum High School there in Wilmington to back-to-back state championships. He was Mr. Delaware basketball, and now everyone knows his name. Dante's Inferno was pretty incredible last night. He was behind the back, hitting threes, dishing and diamond. And Jalen Brunson, who's the National Player of the Year, kind of took a sidecar to him, and he was happy to feed him. And
he had his season low of 9 points.
And he said, when guys hot, feed him the ball. Feed him the ball.
Well, they know exactly what to do. That's just good stuff last night by that group. They can play.
They can play.
Because Michigan threw everything they had. They just, you're talking about running out of gas. I mean, the way they played in that first 8 minutes was unbelievable.
BK, you were there, took it in. You took in all four of the all the Final Four games, and you were there all weekend. What'd you make of the championship game?
Villanova's just awesome, and you know that's just what they do. Any given night, somebody else can beat you, right? If they played three more games in this tournament, the next game it would have been Brunson, then it would have been Bridges, then Pascal, then Spellman, then DiVincenzo. I mean, they got options, as you said, Buck. They're incredibly deep, and boy, it's time to throw Jay Wright into that upper echelon or upper pantheon of head coaches. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the game right now, one of three active coaches with multiple national championships, and he's built that thing into an incredible program. They don't recruit well or as well as a lot of these other schools when it comes to national rankings, but the fact that they just develop guys as well as they do and they pick and choose the players that they want to fit their program, it's just remarkable what they build up there in Philly.
It'll be interesting to see who goes and who stays, and I think Spellman will stay another year. I think Brunson will be gone. He's got to go.
Brunson and Bridges are gone for sure. Those are the two.
Both juniors, both, you know, pretty highly recruited players. But that's the thing about Jay Wright and that program, and it's obviously a note that, you know, all college basketball coaches can take, and certainly in a shock of smart here in Austin. It's you know, the last five recruiting classes for Villanova ranked 28th, 45th, 29th, 48th, and 36th. Yet they've been a one seed, a one seed, a two seed, a one seed.
Yeah, which tells me there's still guys on that bench that are ballers, just can't get in that top seven that'll be ready to play next year.
Yeah, well, they do. I mean, obviously DiVincenzo takes over for Brunson next year. You know, Pascal likely back, Booth. I mean, both is a junior with two national titles. But I read a quote that was interesting about Jay Wright from, remember Josh Hart, who was the 2017 All-American for Wright, helped them win a national championship. He's now playing for the Lakers. And he said, Coach Wright's the best coach in the country, period. You can take guys like me, turn them into national champions, not highly recruited guys, and turn them into NBA players. He's not a big one-and-done guy. He doesn't get the best players in the country. He takes guys who are under-recruited, talented guys, high-character guys, and turns them into great basketball players. And that's obviously been the case over this run for Villanova. As we've said, he's been there since 2001. And he's had his struggles with that program, but he's figured out the system and figured out the type of player he wants to recruit. And for Josh Hart to say these aren't highly recruited players, Jalen Brunson was the 20th ranked player in the country when he came out, a very good player. You know, Amari Spellman, the freshman, he was a five-star kid out of the state of Ohio, Mr. Basketball in the state of Ohio. But the one thing that he's tapped into, as I mentioned, DiVincenzo from the Catholic school there in Wilmington, he's tapped into the parochial schools. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Amari Spellman is from a Catholic school in Cleveland. You know, Brunson, DiVincenzo, so there's the whole, you know these East Coast and Midwest Catholic schools that kind of pipeline into Villanova. He's tapped into that, but he's developing players.
He's still Big East, right? That's still Big East basketball, correct?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they'll crush it in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia.
No, I mean, they're hard-nosed kids. They're really good basketball players that are skilled, but they're not one-and-done players. I mean, they're not guys that are coming in with their minds on the NBA. Sure, they want to play, would love to play professional basketball and the NBA beyond it, but they understand, you know, kind of where they're at, and then that's kind of the type of DNA player that that Jay Wright is looking for. And they play as a team, and boy, they were dominant. I mean, when you win both Final Four games by 16 points or more, last time that happened was
UCLA. They weren't
UCLA.
Even on last. That was a group that wasn't even on. If they were on, they'd have won by 30 last night.
Yeah, and that's
they still keep shooting threes though. They're not. They don't shy away from the 3 points. That one, that bucket by Brunson was big. I mean, he only had 9 points, but that may have been one of the biggest threes of the night before halftime. Off of DiVincenzo's block. I mean, they got the ball back, and when they went up 9, I was like, okay, let me click this off and get in bed.
Yeah, that's once they get a double-digit lead like that, their offense is too dang efficient and too many good players.
Spellman wasn't on. Didn't they have about 4 or 5 guys that didn't play? I mean, not they didn't play well. They got D'd up. Michigan did a great job, I thought, early.
Yeah, well,
playing good defense.
You know, it was a great atmosphere for the first 15 minutes of the game. It was probably 70-30 Michigan fans, and they were loud for a while.
It was, wasn't it?
Once Nova took over, I mean, it was kind of silent, basically what they did to Kansas. I mean, once they just took over and took the lead, they weren't looking back. And more impressive to me, or more incredible than the lack of one-and-dones, the Villanova recruits, guys, is the fact that Jay Wright is able to convince some of these kids to redshirt. I mean, Eric Pascal, Phil Booth, DiVincenzo, Spellman, Bridges, all of those guys redshirted. And in this day in college basketball, redshirting's not a thing. I mean, you don't convince these kids who are studs who could play at almost any school in the country. You don't convince them to sit out a year. Somehow Jay Wright's able to do that. He tells them, hey, just trust me on this one. We're going to develop you. We're going to compete for national championships if you just trust me on this and redshirt 1 year and come back better than ever.
Take a year, you'll get paid.
That's incredible. Five dudes, Five key players on that team redshirted. That's just unheard of nowadays.
Right, and they got to sit and watch a team win a national title.
Yeah.
Down in Houston a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now.
That's why I said there's guys on that bench we don't even know about that are probably ready to go.
Well, that's how you build a program. All right, so Jay Wright and the Nova Wildcats are the national champions. Interesting, you mentioned the crowd disparity. Obviously, Michigan's a great big state school with huge alumni base. Nova's about 6,000 students and in Western Pennsylvania or Western Philadelphia there. So, you know, they are the – I saw someone gloss them a little bit on social media, the Duke 2.0. Can Jay Wright make it Duke 2.0 as Mike Krzyzewski has done down the road there in Tobacco Road? Nova topped the college basketball world, and we'll take your thoughts on the game from last night. One other note, they do have 2 5-star players. No McDonald's All-Americans, though, and 3 freshmen on that roster, not a senior on that roster. 0 1-and-done players. And as BK just pointed out, 5 kids were willing to redshirt,
the only thing
sit and watch and get better.
Excuse me. The only thing that could stop this train is if Jay Wright considers going to the NBA. I mean, he coaches a style of basketball that seemingly would be successful at the next
level. Sure
would
make a lot of money.
I haven't heard anything. There's, you know, there's no rumors about that. But, man, there's got to be some NBA teams this offseason who are going to make calls to Jay Wright's people to see if he's got any interest.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I read that Josh Hart comment, because, you know, that's kind of the sentiment that that's their only fear is that he would bolt for the big money of the NBA. But I will say this, at least after the game last night, Jay Wright said, I have the best job in the country. I'm in my hometown. It's my wife's alma mater, my favorite team growing up. I just love going to work every day. Our guys graduate. You see these kids are great kids to coach. As a coach, there's just nothing
which means he'll be
better.
The next coach of the 76ers as they get good.
Well, I think, I don't know. I think I'm going to take that quote on its face. I mean, he's in a great place. He knows the campus. And why would you? I mean, you just keep rolling. You just keep recruiting great kids, because most coaches get into coach and teach and develop young people, and Jay Wright's doing just that at a very, very high level. But again, it's taken him 17 years to build the program into this. It wasn't always easy. There have been losing seasons in there. There have been some years that weren't so hot, but he's got the hottest thing going in college basketball right now as they cut down the nets again. And they like the state of Texas. They won a championship through Houston, and now they won a championship through San Antonio. And we'll keep an eye on Dante. That kid's good, man. That kid is really good. I remember my brother telling me about him because, again, his son goes to that school, tried to play soccer at that. Only about 1,100 boys. It's an all-boys school in Wilmington, Delaware. But high-end sports. I mean, they play high-end basketball, soccer, swimming. But good to see that on a national stage, he stepped up and had a big night last night for all the world to see. And I did not make it to One Shining Moment. I fell asleep before One Shining Moment. Was it Luther Vandross last night? Is that what we had?
I don't know.
Luther?
When it hit nine.
Halftime.
Yeah, when it hit 9, I said, that's the game is over with. There's no way that they're going to come back.
Yeah.
BK, no. You can't do that. You have to watch it all to the end. Did you stay down there the whole time?
Oh, I stayed down there till midnight, man. I went on the court after the game. I actually talked to Josh Hart, took a picture with him a little bit, talked to some of the other dudes.
You took it all in.
Yeah, are the dudes from the Alamo down there? Did you see them again?
No, I didn't
wearing
see
their
the dudes.
Outfits?
No, probably not big basketball guys.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen, that's when the final big, as big a college football basketball junkie as BK is to soak that in. Come on, man, he's young. He can sleep later. Get a nap today.
Sleep when I'm dead.
That's right.
There you go. I did see your Facebook Live with our man Ari Temkin from ESPN San Antonio. He was down there on the floor of the Alamo Dome. He used to work with us and produce shows here. Now he's the program director there at ESPN San Antonio, so that was cool.
You know, guys, what's actually pretty funny about last night's game, and, you know, all of us had the hunch that Nova was going to take care of business, but Michigan got off to that great start.
Sure.
And Villanova took its first lead at, I think, 23-21 or something like that. And I turned to Ari and I said, honest question, do you think Michigan holds a lead at any point for the rest of the game? Because I don't think they do. And he says, you know what? I think you're right. Michigan tied the game on the next possession, but they never took another lead. I mean, it just felt like once Nova got its sea legs and got everything under control that they were not going to look back, and that's exactly what happened.
Did you think anything was going to happen in the second half when they went up 9? I mean,
No.
When they went back, went to the locker room, do you think that Michigan was going to come out just like they did in the first half?
Michigan just can't score. They can't score with Nova. I mean, they always
scored. Well, the big kid was scoring so early. He was dominating inside.
And that's
credit. He was moving Spellman all around. He had those guys going up and down and up and down.
It's credit to Jay Wright, right? He took Mo Wagner out of the game. He adjusted, Yep. After about 6-7 minutes into the game, Wagner was a non-factor.
Wagner was tired. He put a lot of energy in the first 5 minutes of the game.
He carried them to the win over Loyola Chicago, as we talked about. I mean, he did everything for them in that Saturday victory and helped
them. He was exhausted last night.
And again, that's kind of what we said. I mean, Nova's a team that averages 85 points a game, and Michigan averages about 65 points a game. They're two totally different styles, and they couldn't score with them. And again, there would have been better matchups in the final, in the championship game. But no one was a match for Nova. I mean, they blew everybody out through this tournament. And again, the closest game they played was Texas Tech. Texas Tech played them as tough as anybody in the round of eight. And
beat them by 12?
By 12 or 13, yeah. Stretched it out late with the free throws. But again, if you go back and watch that Tech Nova game, Chris Beard did as good a job as matching up with that group. You know, Keenan Evans, I know coming in on that Monday, we talked about Texas Tech and, you know, going 6 of 21 on layups. I mean, they missed a bunch of easy shots that could have given them a chance, but that's got to be frustrating to now see Nova just steamroll their way to the national title. But some solace for Texas Tech fans. I think they played them as tough as anybody throughout the course, and they, you know, and Chris Beard's got good days coming, I think, for what he's building out in Lubbock at Texas Tech. All right, so your thoughts. There you go. They cut down the nets in San Antonio. We'll dive into opening night down in Houston. It was quite a scene. They got going early, and the place was packed to say hello to the Astros for the first time since they won the World Championship a year ago. We'll dive into that scene. Also, Craig Way has the Craig Way Report. And if you missed it yesterday, we had a chance to talk with Mike Mayock of the NFL Network. And we'll re-rack some of that as the NFL draft is now 3.5 weeks away. We'll dive into Mike's thoughts on UT Pro Day, the UT prospects, and some of the overall thoughts of this draft and the quarterbacks coming up. So we've got a lot to do on a busy Tuesday. Glad you're with us. We get this thing rolling. It's B&E on 104.9 on AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Tuesday. Take the umbrella today if you're up and out, as you're going to deal with a little bit of fog potentially this morning, and then mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms, and then maybe some strong storms this afternoon after 4 o'clock. Your afternoon commute could be rough. 60% chance of rain today, 70% tonight, but things will cool off. Should be beautiful tomorrow, sunny and 70 with less humidity. One thing you will deal with all week long, I just read this, the pollen counts are up. So if you're dealing with the seasonal spring allergies, there's a lot of little yellow pollen out there.
Sounds like you need Zero Res to come in and get those carpets clean.
Sounds like
suck the pollen out.
Yeah. It's going to be in the air. You certainly don't want it in your carpets or your nose.
Well,
I know that.
It gets in your carpet because I leave the screen door closed across, and I have 32 oak trees in my backyard. So there's a tint of yellow on my screen right now, which means that's in that carpet also.
I just blew it off the other Sunday before Easter.
Do you have your screen door open?
You've just turned into Trey Elling with Mr. Shameless Plug guy right here.
Dude, I am the original, I'm the original Shameless Plug guy. Trey Elling has just all of a sudden just gone over the top.
Yeah, well, you got to do that. It's a good idea if you got bad allergies to, you know, clean those carpets.
Oh, my goodness.
No question. But that's what you'll deal with today and tonight. Beautiful on Wednesday.
Or turn the air conditioning on like you two have, which is totally very, very, very frozen ice cream of you guys to do that.
What do you mean?
I think you guys should be able to tough it out a little bit more.
Why should I need to tough it out? I have an air conditioner, so I use it when it gets warm and muggy.
Was it warm last night to have the air conditioner on?
No, last night, but during the day.
Still was?
Yeah, not too bad. Yesterday wasn't too bad.
I'm holding out June 1st.
It's fine. It's your
house. I don't know if I can do that.
It's all you, my friend. It's all you. I do know this, that if you get to our website, hornfm.com, the major fantasy golf challenge, the Masters, is Thursday. They tee it off. You know, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods are playing a practice round today together.
Is that televised by any chance on Golf Channel?
No, I don't
believe
so.
None of that is?
No? No, I did. CBS Sports Network had some of the driving range action going on yesterday, as people are so into the Masters. But Tiger Woods, this is maybe one of the bigger early stories of the week. Tiger and Phil are playing in a practice round together with Fred Couples and Thomas Peters today.
Yeah. Say Fuzzy Zeller.
I know, Tiger and Phil. I mean, this will be awesome. I mean, Tiger's back, and Tiger is an underdog for the first time, and people are rooting for him. Not that they didn't used to root for him, but for a whole different reason. He used to be the Goliath of the sport. And now he's back as one of the odds favorites. But you can pick Tiger Woods. Here's the deal. You go to the website, hornfm.com. You join the Major Golf Fantasy Challenge all the way through Thursday morning. Overall tournament winner is going to win an incredible prize pack, plus a nice gift card to the League Kitchen and Tavern. Go to thehornfm.com, get signed up. And it's different this year. You know, you and I have done the pick three for so long on these majors, but we want to include the whole station and all the listeners from all the shows since we're local for 13 hours now, all the way through Chad and Kevin in the afternoon. So get on board. You got to pick nine golfers, though. You pick a golfer from nine different groups of golfers, and it starts at the top with a lot of the favorites, and then to the second group and the third group. You go all the way to nine, and the most accurate projector will be the winner. Obviously, if you pick the winner, you're going to be in a good place, and then that's what you need to do. So go do it, and hornfm.com, you can win fame, fortune, and glory, and some great prizes and some great fun, and can't wait to watch them tee it up. They'll play the par three tournament tomorrow. Tiger and Phil today in a practice round. Ooh, it's going to get good. Going to get good in Augusta.
So wide open Masters this year. This is really, I mean, any, there's a whole group. That first two groups that we have on the website that you can choose from, any of those guys, including Jason Day. I mean, there's a lot of good golfers that are in this thing. Ricky Fowler at any time. This is perfect course for a guy like Ricky Fowler to win.
Totally. I mean, totally.
And some of the old guys can
Ricky
win this
Fowler's
deal,
been
too.
Playing well. I mean, Phil Mickelson is playing great.
Right.
Bubba Watson just won here. I mean, he's won that. He's won two green jackets.
And there's always guys like Zach Johnson on a golf course like this that just hit it straight down the middle and know how to play the greens. They've been around this course a lot of times.
But yeah.
It's going to be tough. This is going to be tough for Tiger. I really think this is going to be tough for him. It'll be nice to see him if he gets through the weekend.
He's going there
to
win.
That's
what he says. He's going there to win it. I mean, he knows that course. I mean, he's won the green jacket so many times. He loves this golf course.
If that dude's in the top six or seven going into Saturday,
well, I mean, you know,
nobody's leaving.
Well, you know what? Well, of course not. I mean, you know, we saw the ratings balloon to record levels when he was in, you know, in contention at the Valspar Championship. Nobody watches the Valspar Championship, and nobody, you know, as far as the common sports fan, everyone will be watching Tiger if he's in it on Sunday. But again, his game's in good form. He hadn't played since that tournament in Tampa that he nearly won. But the one thing that he's doing, he's driving the golf ball well, which is important. You got to be able to shape the golf ball at Augusta. But he's putting and chipping well, Buck. I mean,
yeah,
you can tell
that,
he's just grinding it out on
game,
his.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about at Augusta. You got to be the greens, in and around them, positioning yourself, making those big par save putts. And obviously,
and I would say he knows them pretty well.
As well as anybody in the world. And this will be fun. Obviously, Jordan Spieth loves and gets more comfortable on this course. And Jordan Spieth just played a heck of a Sunday round in Houston that he'll carry some momentum in. No, it's, you know, Bubba Watson left Austin saying, look, I can't wait to get to Augusta. Sergio Garcia. Been wearing his green jacket for a year now. He's ready to get back in
defense. He's at HEB with it on.
Is he going to play his opening round with the green jacket on?
I don't think that's allowed.
No, but when they call his name at the first tee, he'll have it on, and then he'll slowly take it off.
He'll
take it all the way to the very end. I wish he would.
He's going
to
be crying because, you know, the winner of the previous year has to put the jacket on the next guy. He's going to be, like, crying that he has to
he will not.
Let somebody else wear.
That guy is living the life. Married to a beautiful woman from University of Texas.
Yeah, man.
He got a house in Texas.
Flashing the new horns here.
Got a new baby. That guy has never been so popular.
Hey, here we go. Let's see. Sergio Garcia gets to host the Masters Champion dinner tonight.
Are we going to have fried chicken there or something?
No,
what are we having?
Come on, he's Spanish.
Nachos?
Come on, he's the Spaniard.
We're going to have some nachos there?
Nachos from Spain?
Well, yeah. Come on.
What?
What will we have from Spain?
I don't know. I'm trying to find what his dinner will be. I don't think we find out.
Arroz con pollo? Is that what we're going to have?
Are
we
going to
get the Spanish dish?
Serve, but he gets to pick. He gets
nice.
Remember Jordan Spieth when he won it, had all the barbecue flown in from Texas. So they had Texas barbecue.
Remember Fuzzy Zeller said, Tiger, what are we having tonight? Fried chicken or watermelon or whatever they eat.
No, he said no.
He did. Come on.
Well, he said the boy's putting well. He's chipping well.
Chipping well.
You don't just not to serve fried chicken and collard, whatever for
and watermelon. Wow, Fuzzy.
Oh, that's what's fun. The champion's dinner tonight with Sergio Garcia. But yes, Masters always the tradition and always the fun. And last night we had the national championship. Nets cut down by Villanova for the second time in 3 years. Talking about Jay Wright and the program he's built there in Philadelphia. We'll get back into that coming up. Also, Mike Mayock, speaking of Villanova, we had Mike on yesterday. Mike lives in Philadelphia and grew up not far from the campus. Mike told us that his dad was a coach at Villanova.
Did
back
you say
in
his
the
son went to Villanova?
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike Mayock will have his thoughts on UT Pro Day, the NFL Draft, and all things football coming up in our Coach's Corner. But one other note, you mentioned if you go to the website at hornfm.com and make the picks, the first golfer, you have to your first selection, and the way this works, there's nine groups of golfers, but they're slotted by kind of where they are in the pre-tournament favorite poll. So in group one, you must select one of the following: Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, or Justin Thomas. But you can only pick one.
The latter three.
But you only pick one.
Those other three guys.
What do you mean? Dustin Johnson's the number one player in the stinking world.
How's he played? He's played terrible so far this year.
Justin Thomas is almost number one player in the world.
That's the guy right there. That's the guy that BK is going to slide in.
Would you take Thomas over Spieth? Or Spieth over Thomas?
It's hard for me to say a guy's going to win five Masters if I don't take him. And I'm going to have to put, you know what? I'm still going to have to put Rosie in there first.
Over those two.
No, I'm taking Jordan Spieth on it. That's it. Jordan Spieth is going in. Yes, I'm taking Jordan Spieth.
Well, then it gets tough because then you go to Golfer 2 in our contest at hornfm.com, and it's Tiger Woods in a group with Rory, Koepka, Sergio, Ricky Fowler, and Jason Day, but you can only pick one.
Well, you got to take Koepka out of there since he's not participating this weekend. So
yeah. Is he still hurt?
Yeah, he will not be a part of this.
Well, don't pick Brooks Koepka.
Or do it, because I want to win. So go ahead and pick that
guy.
I'm
going to take Tiger in group two. Spieth, Tiger. Ooh. I need the group three. That's the one. The make it or break it group is that third group
right there. That includes Paul Casey, who won recently. When Tiger was in the mix at Valspar, Paul Casey won that, and no one even remembers.
Who are those guys?
Tommy Fleetwood. He's one of the odds favorites. The folks over the UK like him a lot.
He's been playing well all year long.
He's a great ball striker, and His game kind of fits what Augusta's about. So Tommy Fleetwood's a choice. Tyrell Hatton, Mark Leishman, Alex Noren, and
then there's
Henrik
the big gagger,
Stenson.
Henrik.
And then group four is interesting too, that you have to pick from, with Phil, old lefty there, who's playing great one in Mexico earlier this year. Matt Kuchar, a lot of people like Kuch. He always plays well on that course and in that tournament. Pat Perez, Patrick Reed, Rafa Cabrera Bello. So. And you go through, you got to pick one in each of the nine groups and have some fun with that. We'll have some fun with it as well. We'll all participate. You've got until Thursday morning to get those in.
Paia.
And here's the word out of Augusta that Tiger and Phil are going off the 10th tee today at 8:30. 8:30
nice.
On a practice round. Ooh, that's juicy. They don't like each other. Or they haven't liked. Now they like each other, apparently. They're back to being buddies.
Well, yeah, they're old now.
They're old and just trying to get it in. Yeah. I just like this Tiger Woods story. You know, he goes down Magnolia Lane feeling like he can win this thing. That's been a while. He'll have the huge galleries and crowds, and people will be rooting for Tiger. And we talked about a little bit at the end of the show yesterday.
They got a lot of Perkins there.
But back when he was see, there you go.
What?
You take a shot.
That's not taking a shot.
What, there are Perkins?
There's a Perkins. I mean, he can go
guy's
to breakfast.
A sex addict, man.
They can go to Perkins before he tees off this morning. He's got time, right? When you get your little Perkins in there?
Well, that's the point, though. People now know he's human. Back in the day when he was a robot just destroying golf.
Just destroying golf. Let's get him
back. This perfect family, this idyllic family and life, and he's Tiger Woods, and he's better than you.
It wasn't perfect.
But clearly he wasn't.
No.
And now he's battled his demons.
I thought it was a great life.
I thought he was having a great life, huh, BK?
It wasn't even a year ago. We saw the guy stumbling around the interstate, hopped up on pain pills and the battles he's had. People root for that when they can understand this guy's been through a lot, and now he's worked his way back, and that'll be fun. That'll be a huge attraction this week to see Tiger Woods and how he does. And as we talked about, the field is tremendous.
Somebody says the winner pays for the dinner.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Come on, these are wealthy dudes. When you win the Masters, you do well.
Turn that check over to you.
It's like the dude that hits the hole in one. He's got to buy drinks. I mean, that's.
I don't like that either. I'm poor. I've been in part of that twice.
I mean, if you take the Masters check home, you can afford to buy dinner the next year for the Masters champions. That's the Masters dinner.
And if you hit the hole in one, you got to buy the drink? Shouldn't everybody be buying you the drink?
That's what you would think that, but that's not the case.
It's kind of a weird tradition. Because
I'm going to stop hitting all these holes in one, then.
What are you, Kim Jong-un or something, with all the holes in one? All right, so we've got the Masters on the brain. We'll take your thoughts on it, who you like, who are your early favorites, and have some fun with that at hornfm.com. We'll hear from Mike Mayock of the NFL Network coming up. And who is this Dante DiVincenzo? He took the basketball world by storm last night, the tournament's most outstanding player. All things were kicking around on a Tuesday. But right now, it's Craig Way with the Craig Way Report.
For many NCAA tournament fans who, like just about everyone else who fell out of bracket, only to see it pretty much shredded in the first weekend, last night's national championship game might have offered a bit of redemption. For many of those folks, a number one seed winning the national title helped salvage some bracket respectability. Whether that was the case or not, the ending was pretty routine for clearly the best team in the tournament, which ended up winning the tournament. Congratulations to Villanova. Wins last night for both of the area's Division I baseball teams. Texas State traveled up I-35 to Waco and had a pretty complete outing in a 6-1 win over Baylor. Baylor's next game will be in Austin for its three-game weekend series against Texas beginning Friday night. The Longhorns got a very busy week off to a winning start last night at home by holding on for a 5-4 win after leading McNeese State 5-0 after four innings. After the game, head coach David Pierce said he was happy just to get this one in the win column.
Hey, these wins are tough to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. And we're thankful for that. But you know, it's almost like two different games. At the beginning of the game, we're cruising along. Offensively, we look good. And then they flip it on us, and they start getting some confidence at home plate. But overall, I'm just glad we got the win.
Now the Longhorns go on the road down to Corpus Christi to face Texas A&M Corpus Christi at Whataburger Field tonight. And we'll have a preview of that matchup this afternoon in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Beanie on the horn. Headlines coming up top of the hour. Recap Villanova's steamroll through the college basketball tournament. And it was capped off last night with a dominant performance over Michigan. Michigan came out strong first 10 minutes. They look like they're going to make it a game. But too much Villanova. Too much Dante DiVincenzo. He was amazing. They call him the Michael Jordan of Delaware. Also, he's got a great nickname, Buck. They call Dante DiVincenzo Big Ragu. Big Ragu. And he was big last night for Villanova, the top program in the country right now. They've won two of the last three national titles. Remember, the year they didn't win it, last year, they were a one seed. They made it to the Sweet 16, and there are a lot of people's pick. People thought they were going to get there. But that's the kind of program Jay Wright has built now in Philadelphia. So we'll did they burn Philadelphia down last night? Did they have any
dust up? I saw a little fire in the middle of the street. That was about it.
A much smaller fan base, I guess, for Nova versus the
Eagles. It's down the burbs, man. It's down the road.
Only 10,000 people go to that school versus
7,000 undergrad, and then they've got my brother went to law school at Villanova. And that's a great connection there. But it's a great school.
They're really down the Schuylkill River.
Yeah, it's a really cool, beautiful campus. Beautiful campus.
It is.
And a beautiful area of Philadelphia. But, you know, they're the champions of college basketball, and Jay Wright has built that thing into, as someone glossed it, Duke 2.0. I mean, they're just a power program at a tremendous school. But, you know, it's not a big state school like Michigan or Kansas.
You actually have to go to class there.
Yes, you do. Student
There's
athletes.
Really student athletes there.
Student athletes. Yeah. Oh, that is brilliant,
well,
sir.
You know, I think the DiVincenzo story is interesting because he went, as I mentioned, my nephew goes to the same high school there in Wilmington, Delaware. It's a 1,100 all-boys Catholic school, Salesianum, call them the Sallies, and they have a tremendous athletic program, and it's high standards. I mean, it's really high standards academically and you know, athletically. And I feel like that's kind of one of the things Jay Wright has tapped into, that he goes – those are the kind of players he goes after that come from schools like that. I mean, the kid Amari Spellman is from a school similar to that in Cleveland. And, you know, high academic standing but high athletic, you know, bars that are raised, and just good kids from good schools that compete at a high level. And he's really brought that together, and that's a common thread with a lot of those players, from Brunson to Spellman to DiVincenzo. And you know those are good players, and that's what they are. They're well-rounded people, but boy, are they tremendous on the floor. They do everything really well. They don't, you know, there's not the kind of five-tool guys when they get on the floor. They can score it. They play great defense. They, you know, I mean, Spellman last night. Spellman's a five-star kid out of Cleveland, and the screens he was setting to free up Dante were tremendous. This guy is unselfish, and as BK mentioned, Jay Wright somehow convinced five of the core guys in that team that won a championship last night to redshirt in college basketball. This is unheard of for these young kids that are highly recruited coming out of high school to sit and watch and develop in the program for a year. That's almost, again, that doesn't happen at other programs. Give Jay Wright a lot of credit. He's got long-term vision, and the players buy in, and he obviously knows how to target who he wants to recruit and go after, and it certainly is successful. And I think all in a copycat world,
A lot of coaches are going to be looking at what Jay Wright is doing and how he's doing it.
And he's copied some of his stuff out of the NBA. He knows.
Oh, for the offense, he coaches.
Got to shoot
for sure.
Got to shoot threes.
Threes and layups. And they do it as well as anybody. Very skilled basketball.
But they
team.
Can kill you with the twos. They're just good. They're good all around. Yeah. They're physical. All their players are physical. And last night was a good peek at how they play, because early in the game, in the first 8 minutes, they got knocked around pretty good. I mean, Michigan had a lot of energy. They pushed them around, but yeah, but you got to be able to score when you get a chance to go up by five. You got to go up by 12, and they just couldn't do it.
You say that, Buck, that they were getting knocked around, but they were never down by more than what, five or so.
I think five was it.
And there was a point in the game where I'll never forget it. I mean, Michigan was up three. It was 21-18. And at that point, you know, it felt like Michigan had controlled the tempo. They were dictating the pace, but Villanova was only 1-for-9 from downtown, and Michigan was only up by three. I mean, you knew Nova was going to start knocking down some threes, and the fact that Michigan
they didn't stop shooting them, that's for sure.
No, and they shouldn't. I mean, they're the best three-point shooting team in the land.
Yeah.
And then when they went to the free throw line, they had six fouls pretty early before halftime. Those guys just went and just bang, bang, knocked them down. They just don't miss.
You know, one of the things that's been debated, and I want to ask both of you this, that maybe the world of college basketball needs to adopt the international three-point line to stretch it out a little bit, because these guys are so skilled at this three, and it's, you know, the international line is, it gets a couple of feet further back, and it's got the wider lane. You wonder if college basketball should go to that. I saw Jay Billis suggesting, coming off of the really thrilling women's Final Four, that the men's side should take a note and go to the quarter system, not two halves.
I like the quarters.
And change the foul situation of when you reset fouls. And really interesting. And we'll see where college basketball goes. But BK, you in favor of the international three-point line, or do you like it where it is?
You know, that's a thought. I mean, just move it back a little bit. Some people say.
But what are they going to do once they start getting those? Well, again, we need to move it up into the seats.
Well, I mean, it's.
Because that's what they do. They get good at all of that.
Well, it doesn't mean they won't make threes, but the international line is. You know, a little bit further back, a couple, 3 feet further. It's not all the way to the NBA's line, but it would open the floor a little bit more. And, you know, even if you went to the international paint area, which is a little wider as well, to open things up. But, you know, make the three-point a little more challenging, because right now they're just raining threes. And it's, it is the way of college basketball. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting conversation of where they take college. Not that it's in a hole of any kind, but it could be stronger. It could be a better product, I think a lot of people believe. And Nova has really made it an exciting product, but no one can play with them. I mean, they won every game of this tournament by double digits. They won each Final Four game by 16 points or more. Last team to do that was UCLA in 1968.
I just don't understand.
68.
I don't understand how this team lost four games this year.
I know, right?
I watched all four of those games. It's just, I don't know how they lost.
Well, I think if you saw the Tech game, you could see that if you can play great defense and you catch Villanova on an off night and you can score the basketball on the other side, you have a chance.
That means you got to catch all five of those guys.
And I'm assuming those were all road games for them. They had to go on the road someplace tough in the Big East or run through the teams that were able to beat Villanova this year. Only four of them, and certainly nobody was close to them come tournament time. We'll hit that. Hit your headlines. It was quite a scene down in Houston last night as the Astros came back as victorious champions. We'll get you that. Plus our coach's corner, Mike Mayock of the NFL Network, one of the foremost authorities on all things NFL draft, will weigh in on the Longhorns, the quarterbacks, and all things NFL. Coming next, it's B&E on the Horn.